We're continuing a little mini-series in these chapters of Matthew, Matthew 24 and 25. We began in the middle last week, the parable of the ten virgins. Today we're going up to verse 44, and then next week we'll be finishing from 24, verse 45, all the way through to the end of Matthew 25. And in a sense, in Matthew 24, we have the truth of what Jesus teaches about his return, and then in Matthew 25, the practical outworking. But I'm going to be borrowing a little bit from Matthew 25 as we think about Jesus' teaching about his return. But let's pray, shall we, as we come to his word. Let's ask for God's help to illumine our hearts. Father, we thank you and praise you that the Lord Jesus Christ is enthroned as King, that he has the name that is above every name, that he rules all the nations now and waits for all his enemies to be brought into his submission. Father, we praise you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit on your church to show us his righteousness and our sin and the judgment to come and the only hope of standing on that day when he returns. Lord, please teach our hearts this morning, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would see Jesus and see that great day of his return and be ready. Amen. Well, there's so much to do, isn't there? Christmas is upon us. Shopping. Done your shopping yet? Decorations to go up. Christmas cards to write, Christmas letters to write and put in the Christmas cards. And lots of Christmas services. Lots of extra things to do because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Little cards to put through people's doors that they might come to our Christmas services. And it's often easy to think, isn't it, why are we doing all this extra stuff as Christians? All the extra stuff that we have to do. What? And then we know that there's some folk in the church family who are really going through a tough time. And we know that perhaps we should go and visit them and support them. But life is just so busy getting all the presents bought. And the question can arise in our hearts, why should I go through all the extra trouble of keeping serving the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping loving other Christians? It just seems too much. I know that's how I feel sometimes. Does anybody else feel like that? Well, as we see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses, we should find our hearts being motivated with fresh zeal. Because now is the day of salvation when people need to hear about the Lord Jesus. And we show that we believe that Jesus is coming back any day by loving our fellow brothers and sisters. By not being harsh with one another, but being kind to one another and seeking to love one another, conscious of his return. See, it's good to hear about God's grace, isn't it? In the book of James, we've been hearing about how God is full of compassion and mercy. And yet Jesus taught far more about the judgment that he would come to bring. And I take it that's because he knows that we understand the love of God as we understand that judgment to come, because he has taken the judgment that we deserve, has he not? That terrible fury that is coming on the day when he returns, he has taken in his body on the cross, so we will be able to stand on that day. And so we need, as we hear of God's grace, as we have been over the last few weeks, to depend on God now that he would show us that day that is certainly coming, that we need to warn others and serve one another, serve our King until he comes. You see, we begin a conversation in Matthew 24. Do look at it with me. The disciples were looking at the temple and exclaiming what big stones they were. And then Jesus says, "Do you see all these things? It's an impressive building. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And then the disciples say, verse 3, tell us, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? It's very important that we see the context here. The context is the destruction of Jerusalem. That is what Jesus has predicted. And we'll see a little later on how the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 is linked. It makes even more certain the fact that Jesus could come back every day. But as Jesus teaches his disciples, he wants them not to be deceived, not to be deceived on this whole issue. So that's our first point, which I hope you can see on your sheets, and I hope it's helpful. Verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. He says later on in the chapter 24, verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. Jesus believed in God's elect, God's chosen people, if that were possible. It's not possible to be deceived if we're one of God's chosen people. But he's warning them nevertheless. See, I have told you ahead of time. Watch out. Don't be deceived. There will be many people in the world that claim that they are the Messiah returned, or that they are a prophet who can predict when the Messiah returns. Every so often there is a story that hits the press, isn't there? I don't know, a sect, some sort of strange Christian group. They have a charismatic leader with a small c, and they've been convinced by that leader that the end of the world will happen on a particular date. And so they gather somewhere, I don't know, up some mountain somewhere, or I remember hearing about somewhere in Australia that they believed that the Lord was going to return on a particular day. And here is a prophet who has deceived all these people, and they've all gathered on this particular day thinking that Jesus is going to come back. And I remember one particular group in Australia, they had an interview with one of the members when the date had passed, and they were all dumbfounded as to why the end of the world had not come. And the interviewer said, well, don't worry, it's not the end of the world. I thought about trying to do an Australian accent, but no. You can sort of imagine that. It makes people think Christians are idiots, doesn't it? And Jesus doesn't want us to be deceived into thinking that he's going to come back on a particular day that we can say it's July the 25th or whenever it might be. No. We're not to be deceived. We're not to be gullible. He says in this, do not believe these false prophets, these false Christs. Do not believe the prophet Muhammad. Do not believe Jehovah's Witnesses. Do not believe the prophets of Mormonism. However much they can point to signs and wonders or angelic revelation, these deceptions have great spiritual power. Don't think that there's just going to be a few people deceived. There will be many. A billion. So if we're not taking the words of Jesus seriously here, then we will be deceived. But what does Jesus say to help guard his people from being deceived? Well, he says in verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Don't let these things trouble you. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. They're not the end. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Well, when the birth pains begin, there is one thing that is certain, is there not? There's going to be a birth. For those of you who've been through the experience of birth, either personally or by your wife's side, once the birth pains start, I think it's, is it Branston Hicks, or have I got that wrong? Braxton Hicks. I keep sort of confusing him with Branston Pickle, but anyway, Branston Hicks, something like that. I remember we talked about it, it's a long time ago. But that those pains, those practice contractions start, we know what's coming. It's time to get to the hospital. And Jesus is saying, all the wars of the world, All the famines, all the earthquakes, all the tsunamis, all the wildfires point forward to something far greater. When you see all these things, you're meant to get ready for the main event. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. They are not the end, but they show that the end is certain. Jesus will return. He will come back as the Son of Man, God the Son. All nations will worship him. You see, we're not to try and read history. We're to see the context of what Jesus is saying here and come to the conclusion that he gives us, which is therefore, verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Or verse 44, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. You're not going to be able to guess when the Son of Man comes back. You've got to be ready every day, watching every day. And why does he start talking about Jerusalem? Why does he talk about this image of the fig tree? What's going on there? And this is where we're going to have to do a bit of work, because we're on to our second point. See, he wants us to understand, he wants all Christians to understand, Jerusalem is destroyed to prefigure a cosmic end. See, understand, we've got to get this clear in our minds and hearts. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed to prefigure a cosmic end. In other words, once Jerusalem is destroyed, he could come back any day. We have to be ready any day. That is the sign. So verse 15. So when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are back in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, I'm just going to have a picture going up. I hope we've got that ready, because I want to use that a little later on. It might take a while for that to come up. Anyway, so Jesus is referring back to the book of Daniel, written some 700 years earlier, that predicted the rise of the Babylonian, the Assyrian, the Greek and Roman empires, and also predicted the desecration of the temple. Now, there's some really important stuff here. Can you see that Matthew says, let the reader understand? It's just a throwaway phrase, but it means that Matthew's gospel was written before AD 70. It dates the book before AD 70. He's saying, look, if you're reading this, understand this, because you'll need to know this when Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed. So the gospels were not written much later, as many people are saying today. They were written pre-AD 70 in terms of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we know in history that the temple was destroyed in AD 70 by the Emperor Titus. You can go to Rome and you can see the Titus Arch that is built in honor of Emperor Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And if you want to, you know, when it's, a wet, cold, dark evening after Christmas and you've got a bit of time, you can read the historian Josephus, who was a Jew who was there at the destruction of the temple, writing history for the Romans. See, Jesus is predicting the destruction of the temple as prefiguring his return. If the temple was destroyed, he will come back. It's how prophecy works. This is what Josephus, and if you read Josephus, it's horrific what happens in Jerusalem and in the temple. Without going into great detail, everybody fled into the temple and into the inner part of Jerusalem. And as the Roman armies firstly besieged Jerusalem so that people ate their own children and died in famine, and then as they went in, they just slaughtered 10,000 people in such a tiny area, and there was over 1 million killed. This is what Josephus says. For one would have thought that the hill itself on which the temple stood was seething hot, as full of fire on every part of it, that the blood was larger in quantity than the fire, and those that were slain more in number than those that slew them. For the ground did nowhere appear visible for the dead bodies that lay on it. But the soldiers went over the heaps of these bodies as they ran upon such as fled from them. 2 million dying, slaughtered. So much blood that the rivers went red. So Jesus is saying, after the temple is destroyed, he will return. Because the temple is destroyed, he will return. Well, he will return because he's the Son of God. He's announced himself as the judge of all the earth. But do you remember when we were looking at Isaiah and there's two horizons of prophecy? Do you remember what the first horizon of prophecy for Emmanuel, the sign of Emmanuel, was? It was the child born to Isaiah's wife, wasn't it? The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. The first fulfillment of that prophecy was the one born to Isaiah's wife. And within a few years, the enemies of God's people were defeated. That was what the sign meant. But we know that it points forward to the celebration of Christmas, the birth of the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. So similarly, here is the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem as a sign that Jesus will come again. Now, if we read this differently, it's likely we might be deceived away from thinking that Jesus is going to come back any day. Saying, oh, well, we're reading the signs of the times and he might come back in a few years. No. Once the Jerusalem temple has been destroyed, he's at the door. Could be today. Are we ready? Are we living as if he could come back today? You see, Jesus says in verse 29, immediately after the distress of those days, that's the destruction of the temple, he conflates the two. It's as if they're almost, once one has happened, the other could happen any day. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. See, when Jesus comes back, it will be global and cosmic. There'll be no time to get ready. The sky will just be rolled up. The angels will be gathering those who've trusted in Jesus into his new creation. So Jesus says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right out the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, what's he referring to there? This generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. It's why some people read the gospel and think, oh, Jesus must have got it wrong. He thought he was going to come back within a generation. What is he referring to that? No. He's referring to the destruction of the temple. So can we see? I'll just try and summarize. It's really important that we get this. Jesus is saying, the destruction of the temple is like the leaves of the fig tree coming out. Once that's happened, you know that summer is near. His return could be any day. Once the temple of Jerusalem has been destroyed, and it was in AD 70, he could come back any day. He's at the door. He's near. It could be today. And nobody knows what day it's going to be, other than we need to be ready. Does that make sense? We're not to read history and think, oh, it could be in a few weeks' time, or in a few years' time, or maybe a nice round number, like 2050 or something like that, and go into lots of numerical theories. No, once the temple is destroyed, it could be today. And then all the illustrations he gives of being ready are, well, to be ready at any time. And this is our final point. Keep watch. No one knows when the Lord will return. No one! But God the Father. Jesus is clear that no one knows the day of his return. Rather, Christians are to live with the certainty of his return. Look with me at verse 36. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And things may not be bad when he returns. Everything could be peaceful and wonderful and lovely. We know that from the next verse. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage. You know, they were doing their Christmas shopping at John Lewis. They were stocking up for Christmas and getting the turkey ready. They were planning the wedding in July. Everything was just going on as normal. Right up to the day when Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen. Nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Could be today. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, you know, just preparing some food. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, what? Keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. See, the return of Jesus is certain any day, because the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And so just as we close, I'm just going to ask us some questions. Are we ready today? See, we don't know when Jesus will return, so we need to be ready today. If you're not a Christian yet, you may not have huge amounts of time to ask Jesus to take the judgment that you deserve, to trust in him, to turn away from living for yourself, and to trust in him. So Paul would say, when is the day of salvation? Today! If the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and convincing you that there could be a day when Jesus returns and you will face him in judgment, it could be today. Will you not get ready by trusting in what Jesus has done? I guess most of us here, though, are Christians. I don't know about you, but I've been deeply challenged as I've been preparing. Because Jesus says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And I have to confess that I've been sort of kind of thinking it might be a few months away, at least. Not today. And I've been challenged to think, well, if I truly believe that my Lord will come and take me home, which I do, and isn't it a wonderful hope, and a sure and certain hope, would it not change the priorities of my life today if I truly believed that he could come back today or tomorrow? See, the image that Jesus uses is of people being burgled, and it is horrible to hear of people being burgled even in the parish, isn't it? Tied up and robbed. And so we lock the doors and we put on the burglar alarm. We switch on the lights. We don't know when the thief may come, but we know that we need to always be vigilant. And that's the image that Jesus uses. We know that it could be any day, so we're to be ready every day, vigilant of Jesus' return every day. No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the time. Only God the Father. Now, that's really all we're going to consider this morning, but just some questions. Because Jesus goes on to apply this truth to how we love one another, how we serve the church family, how particularly we care for those who are hungry and thirsty and in prison amongst the family of God's people, how we keep serving and show one another kindness. If we were going to stand before Jesus today, don't you think that would change how we treat one another? What our priorities are each day? What place delivering leaflets in the parish has compared to getting the turkey? I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me. I'm getting Christmas cards sorted, and yes, I've even cooked some cranberry sauce already, ready for the day. But it changes our priorities, doesn't it? We don't find that we do all the things for Christmas Day and then, well, maybe we'll get round to one afternoon doing the things that serve the day. No, it's the other way round. Well, may he give us understanding and illumine our hearts that we might see the day of his return and so serve him with all our hearts, loving our fellow brothers and sisters, being kind to one another, and doing those things which will enable others to stand when he comes. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so sorry that so often we forget that you could come back any day, even today, because the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed. Thank you that you will come back, that that day is certain. Father, we do pray for anyone here this morning who is not yet ready for that day. Please, would you so work in their hearts that they might flee to you for refuge. Trust in you, Lord Jesus Christ, to take their punishment so that they wouldn't have to suffer it themselves. And for those of us who know that we will stand on that day because of Jesus, help us to keep serving, to keep loving, to keep being kind to one another, knowing that we could stand before you today. Amen.